His turn to be here today, but just want to share that she sends her regards. We went on a cruise, as you remember, we went on our 50th wedding anniversary cruise, and she got a muscle spasm on her shoulder, and it's the second layer of muscles, not the top layer. The top layer you can massage out, and no problem. It was in the second layer, and so they had to give her injections and all kinds of things just to numb it. And so she was in pain all the way home, but she was still in pain until about 2 days ago, and then we saw the rheumatologist, and she got on it, and it's okay now. She's fine. But the doctor told her, rest, relax. So she's at church, at our home church. And we over there, you don't have to do nothing. You know, it's sometimes you don't have to do nothing. But anyway, she's there, and she sends her regards, and she says, keep her in prayer, because she feels like she's getting old, you know. And well, she is, you know. And I don't want to say that in front of her, but but she is. But we had a wonderful time on the cruise, and I recommend to anybody who has never been to Europe, you need to go. When you go there, it's like a history book. That's what it's like. It's a history book everywhere you go. We went to Spain, we went to Italy, and we went to France. And we went to Kotor in Montenegro, which is what used to be Yugoslavia. And so it's like a storybook. You know, it's like you see in those little books, the little villages in the mountains, and you can picture how it looks in the winter with snow and all those things. And then you can picture the Barcelona and on the beach. And it is absolutely fantastic. We think it's too long for us. I mean, I think in the future we're just going to, because there's a lot of walking. I mean, we walk everywhere we go because we don't take tours. We don't go on a bus and go with other people, and this is 150 years old and this is 2,000 years old. I just want to see the scenery. I want to see the people. I want to experience the people. So we do everything on our own. So we walk a lot. And so it was good. It was good for us. When I got back, I did a blood test. My A1C, everybody knows what that is? A1C, your diabetes test. The last time I had it checked 3 months ago, it was 6.5. And now it's 5.9. Right. So that helped. Exercise does work. And the food you ate there, we ate absolutely wonderful food. Everything was organic. Everything was fresh. Everything was good. I mean, so if you ever can do it, do it. It's very expensive. But it was our 50th wedding anniversary. So if you've got to do it for any time, do it for any anniversary you want to take. Whether it be your first or the 100th, do it. It's a beautiful place. God created it for us to enjoy. I mean, it's His creation. And when you see buildings that are 1,600 years old and 1,500 years old and buildings that are still being worked on from the 1600s, I mean, it is an absolute incredible thing that you can see. But anyway, you know, a lot of those buildings are churches. A lot of those buildings, these are not buildings that people live in. These are buildings that people still work in or do something in there. But these are old, old buildings. I mean, they're antique. But anyway, that's old. Now we're going to talk about what God is doing today. Amen? Glory to God. Hallelujah. But while I either went down with the muscle spasms, I got a kidney stone. But I knew what that was like, so I knew how I felt, I knew what the pain was like, so immediately I went to a doctor on the ship, and they cleaned me up. That cost us $1,600 between AIDA's muscle spasm and the kidney stone thing. I mean, the insurance company will pay 80% of it, but you got to pay it first. You got to pay the $1,600 up front, and you don't want to go on vacation to pay out $1,600 for medical bills. But anyway, and we moved on. So, Pastor Monette had mentioned about the men's meeting. I don't know how many men have signed up. I need to leave here today with at least to know how many are coming. It's a wonderful trip. We're not going to be the only church there. There are seven churches with men. We usually get the last meeting we had just 6 months ago. We had 115 men come. And this one, they were expecting 150 men to come. It's in San Diego. It's only a couple hours ride for you from here. It's right off the 15. I think it's the 15 that runs south. And it's in, what's the city? Escondido. No, it's further down. Where is the thing? I had the notice. It's right in it. What does it say? I can't hear. I'm getting too old. Oh, it just says, oh, Penasquito's Drive. Well, anyway, it's near that hospital, La Jolla. The hospital down in La Jolla. And so it's really a beautiful spot. The weather's beautiful. And we will have 7 churches total there. And it's a fire meeting. From the moment you get, we would prefer you go Friday night to really get a good feel for the meeting right away. Because you can get there. It doesn't start till 7:30. So you can get there, from go right from work, boom, get down there. And you're going to catch traffic. So you got to be ready for that. But get there that evening because it goes till about 10:30 or 11 o'clock. So you're only going to miss maybe an hour or so if you start out about 5. But the thing is that you'll get there, and then on Saturday morning we start at 9 o'clock again, and then we go till 1 o'clock, and then from 1 o'clock till 6 o'clock we break, and then we start again at 7, and we go till 10:30. And then you can come home. You can come home that night, or you can stay there. So you can only, if you want to stay one night, you can. If you want to stay no nights, you can too. But I would prefer you get there right from the very beginning of the meeting so you get the gist of the whole meeting. So that, you know, you get there on Saturday, you may have missed all of the preliminaries and all the things that go into getting the meeting going. But the thing is, just, you know, I need to know who's going. So we can, you don't need any money today. You don't need any money at all. All I do is take your name and I put it in as a reservation. And then you pay for it over there when you check out. So that's all we need today, is just to know who's going. And then I put it in, and then you're done. And then I'll get all the instructions and everything to you guys on how to get there and all that other stuff, okay? How many guys are going? My brother, 4, Brother Paul now. Come on, guys. You know, you don't get out too much. And if this is the green light that your all wives will love to send you out. Because they know they're going to get back a fired up man. Amen? So we hope that you can get over there, because, I mean, it's one day out of the whole year that you take out. Maybe you do other things, other days for the Lord, but this is specifically geared to men. Specifically geared to men. You won't hear about what the women are going through. You won't hear about what to do with kids. Well, you might hear a little bit of that in terms of fathering a child, but there are other things that you will hear that deal specifically with men. Amen?
Praise God.
Okay. And the Cuba missions trip is on schedule. That's already closed out. We got 8 people going. We wound up with some people from the East Coast and people from other churches. We have 4 people, 4 different churches that are going on this Cuba mission trip, which is October the 13th through the 23rd. And, of course, I wanted to share with you that they have 15 churches ready for us to preach at. That's going to be an interesting division. I mean, how we divide everybody up to go pray. I mean, we'll have three teams ready to split up in different directions to go to different churches at the same time. So, and we plan on starting 4 new churches while we're there. So that'll make our total in Cuba almost 16 churches total. Our Christmas toy outreach is coming up. It sounds like it's a long way away, but it isn't. In December, this year we have 2 outreaches, one on the 16th and one on the 23rd, because we've partnered with another church as well, down further in San Clemente, December 16th to the and the 23rd. Locations this year, we really want to give out those 1,000 toys. We already have them prepared, because our plan from last year, we got our toys late, so we went out and we bought them. So now we have almost 1,000 toys already in hand. So now plus the new toys we get, we're going to have plenty of toys to have that, and then have plenty for next year. And Israel in September is still open. It won't be closing because we still have plenty of, we have 15 people already signed up to go to Israel for next year. This is Israel is for September the 13th through the 24th of 2018. The price is still the same at $3,500. And that is for, actually this day it's the same money, but for 11 days, one more day. Because we are taking one day just for rest to allow you to to move around to certain parts of Israel on your own. Not to go on tours, but to just to do things to rest. Go to the beach if you want to. So we're looking forward to that, and you'll hear more. We have other things we already have planned for next year and things that are coming up in different conferences and things like that. But I'm excited about what God is doing. Pastor Monette's right on. God is doing something, and you better be ready. Brothers and sisters, you better be ready. This is not something, you know, God doesn't say, I'm coming. And then by the time you get ready, I'm gone. You got to be ready for what God is doing in your life. Because God doesn't do the same thing in everybody. He gives you what you need. And He gives it to you at the time that you need it. And He wants to get you ready because He's depending on you to do your share. And what He is, wants to do on this earth. So just remember that God is... Something is shaking. It's shaking. Because things are changing. We see evil abounding everywhere. Everybody that has a TV set here, you know that evil is abounding. Hate is everywhere. Am I the only one that sees it on TV? It's everywhere. Hate is everywhere. Division is everywhere. The hatred of God is everywhere. And it's getting worse. It's getting worse. Before, people used to say bad things about God and it would be little low-key voices. Now, they just say it out in the open. And that's part of the message I'm going to share with you this morning because we have to be ready, brothers and sisters. Brother Nelson shared about the blessing that we receive when we give. I'm going to share you about another blessing. And it's the same thing. But it's not about our money. I want to talk about that. But it's not about our money. There's something greater that God assures you that if you do it, you're going to get blessed. You're going to get blessed in your life. Not only in one thing, in your life, period. In your life, period. Others around you will wonder, why is this one getting blessed and why is that? Why are you getting blessed? Why are you being touched and so forth? Because it speaks about it in the Bible. It shows us in the Bible that God does. It's not that God favors one over another because He says He doesn't. God doesn't favor somebody over another. He has no favorites. But He blesses some other than others. More than others. Is that correct? I mean, have you seen that? That sometimes you can see in the same church, you got 25 people got saved all on the same day. And 10 years later, they're all 24 of them in the same place they were 25 years ago. But one of them is abounding in the blessings of God. Abounding. Everything he touches prospers. Everything. His family is abounding. His family is in peace and joy and happiness. And they have it all together. But is it that they have it together or that God has them together? And the Bible is going to show us and tells us exactly what we need to do to walk in that kind of a blessing. If I asked you, do you love God? How many of you would say, yes, I love God? You see, you're not even happy about that. I just said, how many of you love God?
Amen.
But there's a difference between loving Him in words and loving Him in action, right? It's the same thing in a marriage. If your husband says to you, I love you, I love you, I love you, but he doesn't show it, he doesn't bring you flowers, he doesn't take you out, he doesn't buy you gifts on your birthdays and so forth, he doesn't show that love to you, does he really love you? Probably not. Because love is an active word. It's an action word. There is something you do to show that love to somebody. And it's the same thing with God. When he says, do you love me? Remember when Jesus asked Peter, do you love me, Peter? Well, of course, Lord, I love you. What did he say? Feed my sheep. He said, come on, Peter. Do you love me? You know, women do that. Don't women ask their husbands, do you love me, honey? Yeah. Some women don't because they don't want to hear the answer. But that's sad sometimes when you get to that point. But Jesus kept asking Peter, and three times, Peter, he was told to feed his sheep. And not everybody who says they love God loves God. There are literally people in the body of Christ who say they love God and don't love God. Because they say they love God, in their head they love God, but in their actions they don't love God. They love other things more than they love God. We do it all the time. We're all growing, we're all learning, and we're all moving along as we go. We're all learning how to love God more and more every day. Because loving God more means letting you, more of you go. Killing more of you, of your flesh, of your desires, of your wants. You have to deny yourself more so that you can have more love for Him. He's looking for complete love. He's looking for you to love Him with all of your heart, mind, and soul. Doesn't that what the Word says? To love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and body. That's what the Bible says. But very few of us love Him that way. Am I right? We all say we'd like to love Him that way, but we don't. In church, we come, hallelujah, praise God, glory to God. Oh my God, the Spirit of the living God is here. Woo! Everybody's happy. We're jumping off the ceiling. Everybody is just receiving. I mean, we're just receiving everything God has for us in the Spirit, and we leave the body of Christ, we low outside, and we go home, and we go back to our old routines again. And it doesn't take long. Because we really never capture it where? We capture it in our head, but we don't capture it in our heart. And until it becomes a product of your heart, where you love, you know, and if I said to my wife, I love you, without the action, it wouldn't be long, they get cold. The woman would become cold. Yeah, you just say that, but you never do anything. You never show me. And that's what God must be saying. He says, you know, you say you love me, but your actions speak different, because your actions don't speak of the love you say you have for me. Now, don't get serious on me. Don't get quiet. Let's go into the Word. Hallelujah. Oh, glory, 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 glory. Go with me to Romans 8:28. One of the things that's important, why we know how we love God, how much we love God, is because it has everything to do with your spiritual well-being. It has everything to do with how you're growing spiritually and how your relationship with the Father is. Because how we love God determines our relationship with Him, and how we love God determines just how close He is to you. And the closer He is to you, the more your love is going to be greater for Him. Are you in Romans 8? Romans 8, 28? Here's a saying that I think a lot of you have heard. Even in the world, they say this saying. And you have heard it, I have heard it, said even by the world, you've heard this said. And we know that all things work together for good. Is that where it ends? No, it's not where it ends, is it? But yet, this phrase is used a lot, even by Christians. And we know that all things work together for good. Wouldn't it be nice if that's all it meant? I mean, if it was that easy, that all things work together for good? But that's not the entire phrase. You see, it's true that all things work together for good. For who? For who? For those who love God. I go back to what I said earlier, to those who love God. Those who love God. So it's not for everybody, is it? It's not for everybody. Even though you may be a child of God, and you may be walking in the things of God, and you may come to church every Sunday, that doesn't mean you love God that way. Are you hearing me? Because you could be doing all kinds of things wrong in church, and still be in church, saying things wrong, believing things wrong, and you could be doing all those things wrong and still believe that you're going to get an answer from God. Are you hearing me? Because if you don't love God, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. God has called all of us according to His purpose. Every single person in this room has been called based on God's will for your life. You have a purpose in the kingdom of God, each one of you. The very first purpose is to love God with all of your heart. That's the very first purpose. And if you love God with all of your heart, He's going to come and make His abode in you. That's what the Word of God says. And not only Him, but Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and God, all of them are going to come and live with you. And when you do that, anything you ask for, anything that you ask God for, anything that you need, is going to be given to you. Is it going to be given to everybody else who does not love God? No. They could be in church 30, 40 years and not love God. Are you hearing me? You could be in church for 30 to 40 years, maybe longer, and have a head knowledge of God. Say you love God up here, but you really don't love Him. Because based on what you do with your money, with your family, with the things that God blesses you with, what you do with those things tells God how much you love Him. Are you hearing me? You know, you cannot go around saying, boy, I love my children. I love my children. I'll do anything. I love my children. But God tells you to go to the church and clean up the church, but you don't have time for that. Oh, I love my children. But you don't love God enough to clean His house. I love my children, but I don't have time to do anything at the church. I don't have time to share the love of God with other people. I don't have time to help the poor. I don't have time. And the way you show that you love God is by obeying His word. Is that not true? If you obey His word, you are showing God that you trust Him enough and you believe Him and you just love Him because of how He's blessed you and your family. It doesn't take any mental giant. He doesn't have favorites. So anybody who obeys God and who loves God and chases after God, he's going to get blessed. He's going to get blessed mightily. So you see, Brother Nelson touched on something that's very important. You can tithe, and just the principle of tithe will bless you. But if you have the principle of tithe in your heart, and you bless the kingdom of God, you love God, so you throw your tithe in there, and on top of that, because you love God, you get even a greater blessing. See, you can get blessed just by tithing, just by giving. The world gets blessed by giving. And some of them don't even know anything about God. They know the principle of planting seed and receiving a harvest. It's a principle. It's a law that God put in place. You give, you're going to receive. You give, you receive according to what you give. But when you love God, what He gives is so much greater than we give Him. You see, because you have a personal connection with your Father. You have a personal connection that you can say, Papi, what do you think about this and what do you think about that? And He will talk to you. If you're not hearing from God, you should check out your love walk with Him. If you're not hearing from God, check out your love walk. Because He talks to His children. Many people think, oh, I'm a child of God. Well, you might be. I used to say that too. Until you get into the Word, and the Word says, those who love me, I will know. I know those who love me. In other words, He knows me personally. He's going to talk to me personally. He's going to talk to you personally. He's not just going to guess at who you are. He's not going to guess whether you love Him. He knows you love Him or not. Too many times we say we love God, we love God, we love God. Well, we're putting our interest in other things other than Him. And when you put your interest before His, you really don't love Him. You know of Him, and you have that. It's almost like You know, like with a boyfriend and girlfriend, and they say to each other, oh, I love you, I love you. They don't know what love is until they really get married. Then you're really going to know what love is. Right? I mean, have you ever seen two young kids like me and my wife? That we were like that. Yeah. Oh, I love you. Oh, I love you, I love you. Oh, sorry, I love you so much. I don't know how much I love you. And you look ridiculous. You look stupid. You're on the phone for hours. You're not saying anything. Right? Remember those days? Yeah. Honey, so how are you doing? Oh, I'm okay. How are you doing? 3 hours later, how are you doing? Oh, I'm okay. I miss you so much. You just saw her a half hour ago, you know. Right? Ain't that the way? Remember those days, ladies? Amen. Gentlemen? I remember I spent one time, I was stationed in Japan, and we weren't married yet, and her father had just died, and Aida's father, and I called from Japan. And I, you know, I had to call right away because I just found out that he had died, and so I didn't have time to go through a ham radio. Ham radio, they put through our stations, and you don't have to pay. And so, and we were on the phone, I think, 3.5 hours. And the bill, I think, was like $360. I don't even remember how much that was. It was crazy in those days. I mean, and you know, I don't know who paid for it because I was never billed. So the phone call came from the United States. So I don't know how my wife handled it, but she was my girlfriend at the time. But anyway, but I got to tell you, those things, I mean, those are crazy things we did, right? But that's the way we're supposed to love God. Just to love Him, just to chit-chat with Him, just to spend some personal time. Lord, what do you think about this and what do you think about that? Putting Him into everything in your life. Don't come to Him last. You should come to Him first. He should be the first one you go see. You got something wrong medically? He should be the first one you talk to. Right? You know when there's something wrong with you medically, right? You know, if you're not feeling well, I've had more aches and pains since I got back. I don't know because I'm getting old or I just did too much walking. I don't know. Or carrying too many bags through the airport. I don't know what it was. Man, because that's a hassle. But let me tell you something. That if you go to Him first, He's not going to leave out the doctor. He's not going to, if you need the doctor and that's where your faith is, He's going to have you. Because the doctor works with the Lord. He doesn't know that he's working with the Lord, but the doctor is using the Lord is using the doctor. He's using him. He's part of the plan.
That's right.
That's right. And you have to be with Him. The Lord is the first place you should go. He should be. If you truly love Him, that's the first place you should go. That's the first place you should go. If I truly love my wife, am I going to go ask somebody else about a problem that I'm having with my marriage? I'm going to be talking to my wife. I'm going to be talking to somebody else. I go to the person I love. That's where I go first. Everything else is unimportant. I go to God first, and then I go to my wife. And we all come together. You've got to love God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and body.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Do you love God like you love your bank book? Do you love God like you love your children? Do you love God like you love your spouse? Do you love God like you love your pension or your retirement plan? Do you love God like you love your home? How many times do we say, thank you, Lord, oh, I love this house. I love this house you've given me, Father. We should never love anything but God. And family, of course. You know, you say those words to your family and some friends. But those are words that are reserved for someone who has given all his love to you. Remember, God loved us first. We didn't love him first. He loved us first. And he knew our condition was so bad that he had to send his son to die for us. He had to send his son for us. To die for us so that then we could have a relationship, a love relationship with the Father. He did it all for us. And if you don't have it, it's not his fault. It's our fault. It doesn't. It has nothing to do with our age, brothers and sisters. It has nothing to do whether you're young or you're old. If we can teach this to our young ones, and I mean young ones, early on, that God loves them so much and wants so much for them, and they can see that, you'll have an entirely different generation on the earth that are Christians, young Christians. You know why many people don't come into churches anymore? Does anybody know? Anybody want to guess? They don't see the love of God in us. That's scary. Think about that. They don't see the love of God in us. They don't see it at work, even among the brethren. So why would you want to join an organization that all we talk about is the love of God, and they don't see it? That's the one thing they should see, right?
Yes.
That's the one thing that should be right at the door. They should see it right at the door. Isn't that true? And that's why many people don't come into the house of God anymore. I'm not just talking here. I'm talking about worldwide. Because the church attendance is going down. Did you know that? In many churches, attendance is going down. Because that word, that we were supposed to have with our Father isn't real. And if it isn't real for us, how can it be real? How can you be speaking to anybody else about love if it's not real for you? Isn't that right? How could you be sharing love with your children if it's not real for you? How are you be sharing love with your wife if it's not real for you? It's got to be real. It's got to be something that the people can say, wow, look at that family. Look at the joy and the peace and the joy in that family. Look in that house of God. Look at the love of God just permeating through that place. You won't have problem keeping people here when the love of God is present. And not only in Him, in you. When your love for God is present. You see, because when God comes onto the scene, when you are manifesting your love for Him in that fashion, and God is coming onto the scene, God is manifesting right in front of you in your life. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Man, I hope I'm not making anybody sad. 1 Corinthians 8:1. Now concerning things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge, and knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. And if anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, this one is known by Him. There are a lot of people walking around with a whole lot of knowledge of the things of God. That's not what's going to get people into the house. That's not what's going to get you closer to God. Love is what's going to pull you in. Love is going to pull in other people. Love is the one thing that's going to lay the foundation for His kingdom in the house of God and in your life. Love is the one thing that will stand ready and pass the test at all times. Love will hold you steady. Love will put joy in your life. Love will put joy, peace, excitement. It'll make you happy about serving the Lord. It'll excite you and take you to another level with your walk with God. It'll make all the difference in the way you look at God. All the difference. Because we should never be in the house of God and be sad. Sure, we go to funerals. But how many people have gone into funerals and gone to the funeral processions? That was one yesterday. And the lady just came to know the Lord 2 weeks before she died. And she was 68 years old. So she was fortunate that the Lord gave her the time before she passed to get saved. And how many times we've gone to funerals where we know that these were bad people, and they make it seem like they all went to heaven. You ever been to a funeral where they would say, well, we know this guy went to hell? No, they don't ever say that. They just say, oh, nice thing. The guy was a gangster. You know, he did all kinds of things. He killed people. Oh, he was a nice kid. Right?
Yeah.
They never say anything bad. No. And that's good. You don't want to be saying bad things in a funeral.
No.
Especially if the parents are there, or if the uncle, the aunt, or the nieces. And, oh, my God, this guy is going to hell for sure. But that's what's happened. We have milked it down. And we've taken away the impact of the truth. We've taken it away. And we need to be able to share the truth, but also do it in a way, in a loving way, where nobody gets offended. But that's highly impossible, isn't it? Because when you speak truth, you know you're going to offend somebody. Because you realize that there are millions of people that hate God. And the reason I'm sharing this is because you don't think it's strange when people hate you, because you share the gospel with somebody, because you share the love of God with somebody. If people don't like you, hey, they didn't like Jesus either. Look what they did to Jesus. They haven't put you up on a cross yet. If they did it to Jesus, they're going to do it to you. But you should be happy. You're doing it unto the Lord. That's why love is so important. That's why the love of God and your love for Him keeps you steady. It keeps you steady in the work that God has asked you to do. To share the gospel with the poor. To share the gospel with those that are lost. Because that love for Him is going to keep you steady. Because when somebody comes at you and says, oh, get out of here. You don't know what you're talking about. Get out of here, you heathen. And they'll call you all kinds of names. Even people you know will call you names. Some of them won't invite you anymore to the house. You won't be invited for all those long night parties. That's it. It's over. We're not going to invite you. You just say, hallelujah, thank you. Because you've got a better place to go. You've got a better place to go. And that's to spend time with your Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Knowledge is a wonderful thing, but it has a way of puffing up. Isn't that true?
Yes.
People, when somebody thinks, well, I know a lot, so let me let everybody know that I know a lot. And that's just puffing yourself up. It builds up our pride. Whereas love edifies. Life builds, love builds up, and that's what God does. You see, when you love God that way, you're going to build up who? You're going to build up God. You're going to build Him up. Everywhere you go, somebody's going to say something. That's because of God. That's because of God. That's because of God. That's because of God. But yet we feel like we're, you know, we don't feel, we feel embarrassed to say, oh, that's because of God, that's because of God. No, you should never feel embarrassed about that. Because that's one of the things that shows clearly to the God just how much you love Him. This is my boy. This is my daughter. He ain't backing down. And you should never back down, because He's got your back. He's got you covered. Anything anybody could do against you is nothing, because God has you protected. He's got you covered. His love has got you covered.
Praise God.
You don't ever have to worry. When He is first in your life, you don't ever have to worry about
That's
anything.
Right. Yes.
No matter what anybody says about you, but nobody says about what you do, what church you go to. And people got something to say about religion everywhere. Everywhere. Oh, you're a Pentecostal. Oh, you got those crazy fanatics. Well, I don't think they're fanatics. I think that's normal. You know, that talking in tongues to me is not fanatical. That's normal. They're the ones who are fanatical. I'm normal. That's the way God wants me. That's the way I follow it. That's the way I believe it. And that's the way I enjoy it. You don't want to enjoy it that way? Then you go to one of those other fanatical places then. This is the way it is. You don't have to run from anything, from nothing. Because you are a child of God, you are blessed of God, and the more you love Him, the more blessed you're going to be. And the beautiful part about that, that He doesn't just bless you, He blesses your family as well. He blesses your work, He blesses your house, He blesses everything He has given you is blessed, blessed, and blessed. And then blessed to be a blessing. That's when you have it. Wow, I've got so much of this. I want to give it. I want to give it out. Then when you start giving and giving and giving, and you can't outgive God. And I think I've already shared this with you. That whenever you're going to do something for God, or you're thinking about doing something for God, always compare it to what you would do for yourself. And I say that simply. Let's say you want to go out and get a car that's $25,000. Not unheard of today, right? $25,000 for a car. In fact, that's probably cheap for some cars. So let's say you spend $25,000 for a car. The way I look at it, if I'm going to spend $25,000 for a car, I want to spend $25,000 on the kingdom. Are you hearing me? So I made a deal with God that if I was going to buy an expensive car like a Mercedes, and if it was $50,000, then I was going to put $50,000 in the kingdom. I didn't have $50,000 to put it there right on the spot, but I made a promise to put that $50,000 in the kingdom. And I have never failed to date. So if I buy a $10,000 television, not a $2,000 72-inch, you know, double-sided, I don't know what they are today. Now they got 6K and DK, and I don't know what it is. But you spend $2,000 on a TV, $2,000 in the kingdom. Simple. Simple. It beats up my flesh. It doesn't mean I can't have those things. It means that I'm not going to spend more on that than I give to the kingdom of God. It always keeps me in check with my Father. Because my Father loves when I give to His kingdom. You see, it's not about me. It's His kingdom. It's not about me. That TV on the wall, that's about me. That car I'm driving, that's about me. Huh? The furniture in my house, that's about me. But when I give the kingdom to plant churches, to help the poor, to do whatever I do to help the poor or the families that come our way, that God brings our way, that's for Him.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
That shows my Father just how much I love Him. See, if I didn't love Him, I wouldn't even think about it. I'd be spending my money on what? Instead of a $2,000 TV, I'd be looking at a $5,000 TV. It's for me. You've got to get the best. Well, God wants the best too. He wants the best of you. And when you give Him your best, boy, because when you let go of money, oh, oh boy, what is that pinch? Huh? Whoever gave a $1,000 offering here? Everybody remember when you gave a $1,000 offering?
Yes.
Not yet?
Yes, yes.
Oh, then you're ready. You should be ready.
Yes.
You think about it. You think about what you spend your money on. And one of the clearest signs of where your heart is what you spend that money on. I've always said, because I was in the finance business, they said, let me see your checkbook. When I do counseling, let me see your checkbook. And a checkbook tells me where the person's heart is. If he's a Christian and you see a tithing check like once every 6 weeks or once every 8 weeks, you know you got a problem. His heart wasn't there. His heart was not in the kingdom. He didn't love God. When you love someone or something, you're going to see it. You're going to see it. You're going to talk about it. And that's exactly the way you're going to go. If you haven't given $1,000, you better start thinking about giving $1,000. Because God wants you to give more than $1,000. I told everybody here a long time ago, each one of you can put $10,000 into the kingdom. Each one of you can start 10 churches. Each one of you can feed thousands of people. Each one of you. I'm not talking about all of you combined. Each one of you can do it. It just means you letting go of one of those things you love in the world for the kingdom of God. Because you love God so much that you want to do what He tells us to do. Each one of you can do it. Just think about how many Coca-Colas you have. Think of how many cafe lattes you have in a week. Think about that. Think of who knows what else, how many movies you go to, how much gas you put into your car, just driving up and down the coast. Yeah, hey, man, I'm in California. And every time you fill up the car now, it's... I'm telling you, if you have to do a mind shift, or I should say a heart shift. Your heart has to go in the way of where God wants to. You do that, and you'll see what God will do for you. Let me go very quickly here. In John 15, 17 through 20, it says, "These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also." You are a representative of the kingdom. And what you bring to others, they will keep. You bring the word of God to others. You bring the hope of God to others. You bring the love of God to others. You bring the power of God, the joy of God, the happiness of God. Everything, wherever you are, God is. When you love God, wherever you are, the power of that kingdom is with you. Wherever you are is the kingdom of God. And it's ready to do healing. It's ready to get people saved. It's ready to share the love of God. It's ready to share the happiness of God. It's ready to share all of what Jesus was in life form here. It's ready to be shared at the moment you are with somebody else. Putting Him first in your life, it will change your whole life. Everything that you desire, everything that you would like to have, will change. It will change. It will change. What you spend your money on will change. And I'm telling you something, I have not found one bank or one investment, not one have I found, that pays me better interest than what God pays me.
That's right.
Not one.
That's right.
I have not found one yet. Not one. Because what God pays me, it's multiples. Multiples. He doesn't just give me 1% return. He doesn't just give me 10%. This thing can, when I say hundredfold means more than enough. More than enough for me to do all that He wants me to do and for me to live happily. Always having enough to give. Always having enough to help somebody else. Always. Wouldn't that be quite an incredible thing if Pastor Monette came up here on Sunday mornings? Okay, we have these needs. We need $10,000. Okay, let's get together and $10,000 gets here on that same morning because we have that need. Huh? Now, I'm not saying what the need is. The need could be anything. It could be for the church. It could be families that are needful, that need an apartment, or they need clothing, or they need, I don't know, whatever. There are lots of needs, right? But the point is that if we're ready and we love God, we'll be ready to do those things and get them like this. They're taken care of immediately. I've seen that done. I've seen it live. I've seen it visibly where I've gone to meetings in Oklahoma, where Pastor Kenneth Hagin, the budget for the week for the whole conference was $500,000. Jeez. I said, what are you spending the $500,000 on? And it wasn't that they had a budget for the meeting. The meeting was only $100,000. But they wanted to buy a piece of property which was right next to where they had the meeting place, and it was $400,000. They're like 10 acres. Oklahoma's cheap. 10 acres for $400,000. And within 5 days, they got the $500,000 to pay for the meeting and for the land, cash. It's not impossible. It's a mindset. It's a mindset that he knew, that he grew up with, that he studied, that he put out. He was like the father of teaching that we know of, in Bible teaching. Because there were a lot of preachers back in the 50s. He was one of the early Bible teachers. Teachers. He began to teach the word, how to live the word, how to live by faith. And that's what you can do today. Let me just read this last thing and we'll end it here. A little while longer in the... This is John 14, 19 through 21. A little while longer and the world will see me no more. But you will see me because I live and you will live also. At that day you will know that I am in the Father and you in me and I in you. And he who has my commandments keeps them. It is he who loves me. Again. You're going to keep the commandment that shows that you love the Father. And he who loves me will be loved by who? And I will love him and manifest myself to him. So you see what I mean? You have to love the Father. You have to love him so that he will manifest in your life. You just can't know of him. You got to love him. And when you love someone, even if it wasn't, let's take God out of the picture for just a moment, and you love another person, a man or a woman. The moment you show love to that other person, man or woman, there's going to be a change in the relationship, isn't there? There's going to be an attraction. There's going to be people coming together to work together, to speak together, to live together, to do different things together, wherever that goes from. So we know that that's exactly what happens when you say you love God and you obey God. He comes closer to you. And the more things you need, the more he's there to help you. The more things you ask for him, before you even ask him and before you even said a word, a lot of times God will automatically give it to you because he knows your thoughts and your heart. He already knows where it's coming from because it's a product of your heart. And in the last one it says here, in John 14, 23, 24, it says, "And Jesus answered and said to him, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him." Again, he repeated it in the very same chapter, twice. "And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Yes. He who does not love me does not keep my words." Is that clear? I mean, I don't know how anybody could misinterpret this verse. He who does not love me does not keep my word. You don't keep his words, you don't love the Father. "And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me." So the love extends itself to Jesus unto the Father. From Jesus unto the Father. From Jesus unto the Father. Everything you do for the kingdom of God goes directly to the Father. And you receive it, and you receive this blessing directly from him. And he comes and he makes his abode with you. That's what I love. That means we got a close relationship. We got a close bond. We have a close bonding that I can speak to my Father anytime I want. And he can speak to me anytime. I'll share something with you very quickly, and I'll close there. I was coming to church this morning, and I shared with Aida something that just happened this morning. And I'm coming to church, and I just happened to be thinking about Cuba because it's on my desk. And as I'm driving out, the Lord says to me, "I want you to share this message that I'm sharing with you now in Cuba." He said, "Really, God? You want me to share that in Cuba?" He says, "Yeah, I want you to share it in Cuba, and this is what I want you to say." And he didn't tell me everything. He just said, "Share this message too in Cuba, and this is what I want you to say." What he wanted me to say is nothing that I've said to you here. But it's that, let me put it this way, it's that minute, it's that quiet, it's that simple how he speaks to you. Because he wants to put in me what he wants me to take over there. He's not going to give it to me the day before I go. He's going to give it to me as I go. He might give me something here, something there. In 1 week, he'll give me more. In another week, he'll give me, and then I've got other people going. And the other people have to hear from God, too. You see, because when we go on some of these meetings, we don't have subject matters that I tell everyone, okay, talk about this or talk about that. We've done it that way. But a lot of times, I put seed in those that are going, and then I tell them, think about this. And let God expound this on you. You see, because you have to be ready for what God wants for his people. God knows best. Remember the old movie, the show, Father Knows Best? I don't know if some of you remember that show, but Father Knows Best. It was a TV show, and it was a real home-like movie, TV show, because it was about a family, a Christian family, too. And Father Knows Best. Our Father in heaven knows best. He knows what's best for all of us. And he does it in such a way where we could all work in harmony and we take care of each other's needs. He knows exactly what you need. He knows what I need. He knows what you need. He knows what you need. And he puts it all together and the Holy Spirit just makes it all work together. Because it's for his glory. He works for his glory. It's almost like when we put together a Christmas toy program. I've got about somewhere about 30 to 40 people working those things at one time. 30 to 40 people working at one time, different positions and everything. And when we get through, nobody got out of shape. Everything is a peace and it's a joy. And the work of God got accomplished exactly the way God wanted it to. His love was there. His joy was there. Everything that he wanted is there. So, you know, I know you guys are really quiet today. I don't know. Maybe you just got up on the wrong side of the bed. Or this subject just kind of hits hard. Yeah. It makes us all think. And that's a hope. That's what I hope I did. Make you think about your relationship with the Father in heaven. If that's what you're doing right now, I'm okay with you being quiet. If not, just say hallelujah. Say this with me. I love you, Lord.
I love you, Lord.
As you love me.
As you love me.
I love you, Lord.
I love you, Lord.
As you love me.
As you love me.
I love you, Lord.
I love you, Lord.
As you love me. Keep saying that to yourself. Keep reading these scriptures that I just gave you. Because let me tell you, brothers and sisters, read them over and over and over and over again until they're solid in your heart. You know, when you have the praise and worship team up here, their job is to just take you into his presence. Mm-hmm. Yes. This is the place where that love should go, explode. Because you're in the presence of the Almighty.
Right.
You're in the presence of your Father.
Right.
You're in the presence of the kingdom of God.
Yes.
You see, you just can't look at it like, oh, this is just a little building. You know, this is where we... No. No. You could be, your church could be outside in the parking lot. And it would be the same idea. You're coming before the presence of the Almighty God. And don't think about nothing. Don't think about your kids. Don't think about the problems. Don't think about the banks. And no, I'm here to enjoy my time with the Father. Amen?
Amen.
Why don't we stand a minute?
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord. Lord, Sandalarabasoto. Heavenly Father, I just want to give you the praise and the glory, and I want to thank you, dear gracious Lord, for this wonderful day that you have given us, Almighty God, to dive deep into your word, O precious God, and know and understand the love that you have for us, that you want so much for us, that you care so much about us. You care for those little, minute little details, O precious Father, in our lives, as you care about the large things that happen in our lives. And I thank you, dear gracious Heavenly Father, that the Holy Spirit today has moved and has touched the hearts of many in this room. I thank you, dear gracious Heavenly Father, that your word never, ever returns void. And when it never returns void, Father, that means it's being put to work. That the hearer is receiving the word into his heart and letting that seed take place. That letting that seed germinate and grow in their heart. And I thank you, dear gracious Heavenly Father, that you will show each and every one of your children right here now. Because I know they love you, Father. They love you, Father. But not any of us, not me, not anybody here, has arrived to the place where we can just say, wow, that's it. God, that's it. There's nothing else in place. We all have our struggles. We all battle with certain things in our lives. But I know, dear gracious Heavenly Father, that right now the Holy Spirit is making changes. Is making changes and making deposits into the heart of every person here. And so I thank you, dear gracious Lord, that you have spoken to them louder than I could ever speak. With better words, with much more love. With much more love. And I thank you, Father, that you have spoken to their hearts. You have spoken to their souls. You have spoken to their being, Almighty God, of the changes in their lives so that they can have a greater relationship with you, a much more loving relationship. And I thank you, Father. I thank you for every person in this room, O precious God. I thank you, Father, that those who are hurting right now, don't have any pain or suffering right now, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, they're being healed, Almighty God. In the name of Jesus, receive that healing power of God. In the name of Jesus, receive it in your body. If you have sickness in your body, just receive it right now. Just put up your hand and say, Lord, that's for me. I receive that healing in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And just put it out there. Just receive it in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Whatever you have need of, whatever you, if you have a problem, a relational problem with your spouse or your children, just give it to God and say, Lord, I can't do anything without you. You just take it over, Lord. Take it. Take it, Lord. Take it. I put it in your hands, oh precious God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Don't hold on to anything today. Today is a day to let it all loose. Just turn it over to God. Just turn it over to God. Just turn it over to God. Don't hold on to anything. He wants to take it away from you. He wants to lift that burden off of you. He wants you set free once and for all. Hallelujah. Give it to Him and don't ask for it back. Don't ask for it back ever. If it comes back, just say back, go back over there. You're not mine anymore. Just give it to Him. 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 It's His directions, not mine. He's the one that said to do that. He said, give it to Him. His word tells us that clearly. Cast our burdens upon Him. Cast our burdens upon Him. Cast it all upon Him. You got problems with your children? Cast it all upon Him. He'll take them. He'll get them straight. He'll get them straight. He'll get them straight. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, mighty God, for your presence here today. I lift up Pastor Mornette, mighty God. I thank you, dear gracious Lord, for her. I thank you, Father, that you've cared for her all this year, mighty God. And she looks so rested. And I thank you, Father, for the strength that you put in her to carry on the work that you have given us to do, given her to do here in this house. Oh, precious God. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Be blessed, brothers. Has anybody here seen the movie The War Room? I'm telling you, I've seen it 3 times already, and I don't never get tired of it. I mean, if you ever want some help with your prayer, see that movie. It's good.
That's right.
Simple stuff.
That's right.
And it's a good movie, and it'll just bring you up a couple of steps.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. God bless you all.
Let's just thank the Lord for the message that we heard this afternoon. Amen. Father God, we thank you for that powerful truth that you love us personally, God, and that you long for each one of us to have that type of personal, intimate relationship with you. Father God, we thank you that you're the type that you just don't say, I love you, but you demonstrated it. In fact, your word declares that you demonstrated your love for us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so, Lord, in this gathering this afternoon, we know that every heart is bare before your sight. So if there's anyone in this place, it's because God has drawn you to come and to hear that message that God cares for you and he loves you so much. And if there's anyone in this room that has not yet surrendered their life to Jesus, this is the day that God has given you. As we bow down our heads before God because we allow the Holy Spirit to continually speak to our hearts. So if there's anyone who would like to commit their lives to Jesus, to make Jesus your Savior and your Lord, and to know that He's longing for that moment wherein any one of us, we would say to him, Lord, have your way in my life. I need your forgiveness. I need Jesus as my Savior. And so if you're that person that would like to make that decision right now, just lift up your hand to God. Just lift up your hand to God. And we're going to say, we will lead you in a very simple prayer and just mean it from your heart, for we know that God listens to that prayer. So if you're that person who would like to accept Jesus as your Savior and Lord, we're going to pray together. Amen. So if you're that person and you're ready to lift up your heart to God, say this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I thank you for loving me and that you died on that cross on my behalf. Today I make that decision to open up my heart to you, Lord, and I allow you to come in and take hold of my life from this day on. I receive my forgiveness of all of my sins through your blood that you shed on that cross. And now I know that I belong to you as I make that decision that you, Jesus, be my Lord and my Savior. Guide me from this day on through your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. If you said that prayer, you know what? Now God is living in you. Amen. And you're going to experience the love of God every day in your life. Amen. And at this point, you know, let's just thank the Lord once more. And we're going to take a second offering. And let's just thank God that you and I have been given an opportunity to express our love for God and know that even as we give, as we take our second offering, we would like this to be used by God so that others would also hear that message of the power of the love of God through the gospel of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So, Father God, once more, thank you that, Lord, you have given us this blessed opportunity that, Lord, as we give us unto you, as we take this second offering, to know that, God, we can share the love of God even in our giving. Because, Lord, there's so many more people who needs to hear the message of the gospel for the first time. And we thank you even for the ministry that you have given Pastor Lou and Pastor Ida. Even with the forthcoming trip in Cuba, Lord, as we give, we know that, Lord, as we give, oh God, let this serve as a seed that will be sown in the lives of people, oh God, for we know that the power of the gospel can bring about change in the lives of people, oh God, to know that, Lord, you love us so much. And thank you for this opportunity you've given us, oh God, as we give us unto you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord as we take our second offering. Praise God. Glory to God. Amen. Praise God. I just heard that we have a young person that celebrated her birthday yesterday. Was it Aliana who celebrated? Yes. We're going to pray for her. She's in Sunday school. Yes, let's call her. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. We are, you know, so thankful for the lives of these young children that God is also using them. You know, we know that parents are so blessed to see their children knowing Jesus in their lives. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Look at her. Happy birthday, dear Aliana. Happy birthday to you, the Jesus way. Happy to you. Happy birthday to you. May each day of a year, may you feel Jesus near. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. And many more years to come. Wow, happy birthday, Aliana. How young are you now?
7.
My goodness, 7 years old. Can I tell you something first before we pray for her? When we used to have like a home Bible studies, young as she was, I remember her. She was seated close to her grandma, and they were by the stairway. And then she was looking intently, listening to the Bible study. And you know, now that she's 7 years old, we hear stories about how they are, you know, in school. Did you share about Jesus to someone, a friend in school?
No,
I know. I remember you did. But well, I remember that story. And so we are so blessed, Aliana, that you're growing up knowing Jesus in your life. We're so ready to pray for you. Okay, are you ready now? Amen. Okay, let's pray for her. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you that, Lord, life comes from you alone. Jesus, you are our maker and creator, and we are thanking you for the life of precious Aliana. Lord, you've given her on her 7th year. We thank you that, Lord, oh God, she's growing up knowing Jesus in her tender life, Lord God. And we thank you for your guidance upon her, your divine protection. And so, Father God, we even thank you for her parents, Lord God, Brother Arvin, Lord God, Sister Elaine, and the grandma, Lord, everyone in the family, God, that, Lord, you have surrounded her with this loving family, guiding her, supporting her, God. And even for us as a church, as a family of God, we ask for your blessings upon her life. May she continue to grow up knowing Jesus more and more, and that you would bless her, protect her, and provide for her needs, oh God, that, Lord, your purpose in her life come to pass. And so, Father God, thank you for blessing Aliana, surrounding her with people who will be a loving and kind support, godly influence in her growing up here, so God. And Father God, we thank you for blessing her with another year and many more years to come. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Happy birthday to you. Praise the Lord. Let's all stand up as we are going to be dismissed in prayer. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Father God, we thank you that, Lord, as a church, we can rejoice in your goodness and faithfulness, God. Thank you for loving us so much that, Lord, oh God, that you're here for us every step of the way. And so, Father God, I even pray that, Lord, you would stretch forth your hand, that you would bless everyone in this gathering. We thank you, Father God, that, Lord, even the word that you have was ministered to us, that, Lord, to remember that, God, you love us, and that, Lord, teach us how to express our love for you and love to others, oh God. And so, Lord, this is our prayer that, Lord, to the power of your Spirit, you would continually strengthen us in our walk with you, oh God. Bless your people today with your peace and with your joy always, oh God. And that, Lord, as you bless us, may our lives be a blessing to others, oh God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you all. Praise God. And let's just worship the Lord together. Amen. Let's call our praise and worship team. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord God. Praise God.